So we've been starting a series last week, if you were here, called Amplify, and it's about raising the volume of the voice of God in your life. And last week, I talked to us about this idea that God is a communicating God. He speaks. And if you didn't catch that in that passage, it was just full of phrases and reminders that God wants to speak to us. And last week, as we did this, I talked about divine revelation, which is really just a big word for God speaks and that he reveals himself to us. He wants us to know him. We talk about having a relationship with God. That is a relationship of revelation. He speaks to us. He communicates to us. We know him and he knows us. That's what we just read even in that last passage. And so there's specific ways that God does that through his word, where he gives us what we call specific revelation I talked about. And then there's general ways that he does that, which are a little more subtle and a little more sometimes difficult to understand and interpret, whereas the word can be more direct. But even the word of God can require some interpretation. Even the fact that everything you just heard is in fact an interpretation, because it comes from another language and another time. Even the translators are in a sense interpreting the word from those days by choosing words that we may recognize. And the truth is that even an English translation over time can change and lose its meaning, because words change and their meanings change, don't they? And so there's a constant need for, as we become listeners and attuned to God's voice, for constantly, you know, checking up that we are hearing God correctly and making sure that we hear his voice correctly. And I want to say to you that this is a passion of mine. I spent, you know, my whole doctoral studies studying this kind of phenomenon of what it means to hear God's voice and how can we know this is the voice of God. And the rest of this series, we're going to dig in deeper into what it means to hear his voice. We're going to look at different ways and different voices of God. And today, we're going to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, the tricky part about talking about the Holy Spirit, again, and there's going to be significant overlap across the series in a good way, because I think it's important that we think about these as overlapping voices, is that the voice of the Holy Spirit is always the voice of God. In other words, anytime you hear God speak, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's no separation. You're not going to hear God speak in any way other than the work of the Holy Spirit, because the author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit. The voices we hear, even through others and circumstances and the life around us, are the acts and the activities of God in our lives, and it is his Holy Spirit. So everything I'm going to talk about over the next few weeks that we listen, and the ways that we listen to God's voice, are all works of and acts of the Spirit of God. And if you look at the verse John 14:17 on the slide, it says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him. This is similar to what Paul wrote, because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. John was writing this before we had Pentecost in Acts, where we know the Spirit of God came out and was poured out among God's people, and we have that Spirit of God today. And in Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit is a speaking God. All his activities, the descriptions of what the Spirit does and who he is, are revelatory. They imply communication. If he's going to bring us insurance, I wish, pay my insurance bill, that'd be great. But if he was going to bring us assurance, then he has to do that by giving that word of assurance to our heart. If he convicts us of sin, it needs to be the voice of God convicting us of sin. A little aside, it's never a Christian's job, any person's job, to convict someone of sin. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let him do his work. It's not our job, right? It's his job, but we need to listen, right? And he brings understanding, so he's going to help us understand by speaking to us. He guides us to truth, brings comfort, reveals God's will to us. What an important work of the Spirit. If you want to know God's will, it's an act of the Spirit of God. He calls us to serve, and so the act of calling us out by name and into activity and works and into our faith is all an act of the Holy Spirit. And he has to do these things through communication. So again, we echo the truth of last week that our God is a communicating God. And so the Holy Spirit, as we read in John, leads us into all truth. This is the first phrase in that verse. He leads us into all truth. Well, what does that mean? It means that he is going to guide and direct us to know what is right, what is true. 1 Corinthians, we read earlier, says his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And so the way we know and God has revealed to us is through the Spirit. John 14 also says that, John says, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. This is the words of Jesus. And he says, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, he's speaking of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Think about that. The scriptures themselves are that very evidence that we have as a reminder of what Jesus taught and told us. So he would do that, and we have it in the Word. And he does that in our hearts and minds as well today. And so the promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise that God will reveal what we need to know. And he will speak through him and teach us new things and remind us of things of old, things that we need to know. And the second part of the phrase in this John verse says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him. See, there's a difference between those who are believers and have recognized the Holy Spirit because we can know him and we can know his voice. And it's important that you understand today that you can know and recognize the Holy Spirit. It seems really obvious. I mean, I'm teaching a series on hearing God's voice that I believe that you can hear God's voice. Of course I do. But I think you need to believe that you can hear God's voice and that his Holy Spirit will speak to you. Because when we know that it's possible, anything we don't really believe is possible, we won't pursue. And if we believe it is possible to hear his voice, then I believe we will listen for it and tune into it. The Spirit of God can be known. And when someone says, I heard God speak, there's a lot of things that can mean and different ways that we understand that to mean. And we're going to go over all of that and talk about that in depth. But the truth is, it can and will happen if you want it to in your life. It is something that we know can happen. We talked about last week. He'll speak to you through his word. We can know him and experience God's presence. But if some will not, like John's saying, there are some people that won't, that means it's possible for us not to recognize God's Spirit. This is important to recognize that we can actually ignore and even grieve the Spirit of God and not hear what God has to say. And so it's important that we become familiar with his voice, because that is a way that we can be assured that we're hearing from the Spirit of God. And so what does it mean? Today we're going to look at what it means to become familiar with the voice of God and investing time in that relationship. I'm going to show you a picture of a jiu-jitsu tournament. You might recognize a few faces. First of all, that's Elias on top, standing there in that match. And my son, and he is in a competition. The guy behind him is the referee. But in the distance, if you see someone with their hands cupped like this, you recognize that face. That's me, because I am Elias's coach. I've been coaching Elias since he was 6 years old. He's now 11. That's a significant amount of time. So for 5 years, I've been his jiu-jitsu coach. I'm also his dad, which helps. But the thing is, he's been my student for enough time that he's familiar with my voice. This, you can't quite get the idea of it there in that picture, but this is a very crowded, busy, noisy room with all kinds of people preparing to fight, fights going on. There's actually four fights going on at the same time. That means eight coaches all yelling out instructions, all like they're all side by side. There's all kinds of noise. But I want my students to hear my voice and hear the instructions I'm giving them so that I can give them the best advantage I can as their coach. And that only comes through familiarity. And the thing is, I'm strategic about this. I speak to them in clear, concise statements. When I'm training my students, I teach them with the same phrases and the same words consistently so that they hear them and know them, and they know what to do immediately when they hear those words. In fact, sometimes I hope they can hear my voice in their head even before I say it. Because that means they have learned it so innately and in tuned to what I would say that they can respond without me even saying the words. How good would that be if you knew your coach's words before they even shared them. You see where I'm going with this. With the Holy Spirit, it can be very much the same. What if we knew what God was going to say before he said it? We could react and we could live the way he means for us to live. And the more familiar we become with that voice, the easier it is to know and tune into that voice. The opposite is true as well, though. If I have a student who's brand new, has taken two or three classes, and we go to that tournament, and I try to give instructions, and I've actually had this where students just are occasional in our gym, and then I go and I try to coach them, and it was harder for them to hear my voice. They weren't as familiar with my instructions and my commands that I would use to give them advantages in the matches. But the more time spent on the mat, the more time spent with me as the coach, the more familiar they could become. You could kind of narrow in your focus and just hear what you're trying to hear in that thing. So the familiarity of God's voice helps us to cut through the noise and the difficulty. And so we can become familiar with him because he lives in us. We call this the indwelling presence of God in our lives. God actually is present with us in our heart and mind, in our lives. People will not hear my voice. It's not amplified, so hence the title, right? Amplify, we need to hear the voice of the speaker. The indwelling presence of God is... It means that he lives in us. It's not a physical inhabitation or some kind of weird possession thing. It is about God's presence, which is everywhere and anywhere. It's actually more about an invitation and a relationship or a cohabitation of life with the Spirit of God because he lives in us. And so this is the voice of God. But it's always, this is an interesting fact, I think, it's always an external voice. Now, I know this sounds a little bit contradictory, but it's not. Listen carefully. The indwelling Spirit of God is an external voice. You have to note that because it is not your own spirit. It is not your own voice that we're listening for. There's a big difference to listening to your own voice. We'll talk about that in a minute. And listening to the voice of God. They're not always in tune with one another, are they? How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but I would admit there are times where my voice is not saying the same thing as God's voice. And I need to know the difference. We can't afford to confuse our voice with God's voice. But if we're talking internally, that can become a little bit mysterious and confusing, right? That can be, well, did you hear God's voice again? Or did you have a weird, meal the night before and had some crazy dreams? I don't know. How do you know? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's the familiarity principle we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says that when we tell you these things, as Paul was saying that before, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. He's saying they come from God. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So this principle is all throughout Scripture when it talks about the Spirit, that it is from and come from God. In fact, my studies were, a big part of it was on calling. One thing that I notice when I know people are getting this confused is when I hear things like, my calling is this or my calling is that. Of course, it could just be language, and maybe they don't mean that, but the my is a problem in that phrase. It's never your calling. It's always God's calling. The Holy Spirit is external to us. He is internally dwelling within us, but it is not our own voice. It is a voice of the Spirit. Romans 8:16 says that he testifies with our spirit. There's a communion, there's a relationship internally with the Spirit of God when we become interconnected and we have him indwelling in us. And so it's not your thoughts. It is something else. And that's one of the ways you can recognize God's voice. You're like, oh, that thought or that just came to me. That didn't come from me. And I've experienced that many times in my life where something comes to mind and I go, that's interesting. I would never have thought of that on my own. Clearly, that's probably the voice of God. And we'll talk about how we can recognize when it's not God's voice in just a minute. But if it's the voice of God, it doesn't originate from you. It originates from God. And it's important to recognize that God's thoughts may not always align with our own. Now, we want them to, and there are lots of times where God's thoughts and my thoughts are in alignment. I pray and ask for my thoughts to be like God's. I want him to make me want what he wants, but there are times where my voice wants something in opposition to God's best, and I have to surrender to his will. And so how do we get familiar with this indwelling Spirit of God? How do I get to the point where I know that voice so well that it cuts through the noise? It even cuts through the counterfeit voices that might say things in opposition to him. And I think there are practical things we can do. And the first approach is to know those counterfeit voices because they exist. There are voices that would speak to you, and there are things and influences in your life that would be counter to God's voice in your life. They are deceptive sometimes. They are not necessarily what God wants us to hear. And the more, you know, it's one of the ways we can know the voice of God is knowing what is not the voice of God. And we already talked about one, right? Well, first of all, let me show you this. It's a silly image on purpose, right? But it kind of gives us this picture. Sometimes, the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other. We hear voices as Christians. That doesn't mean we're crazy. We hear the voice of God, and it means that we are in tune with him. But I think there are other voices you can hear. In fact, I have experienced in my life times where I've heard pretty clear external voices, not audible, but things that I'm like, ooh, that's not from God, and that's not from me. And I recognize immediately, and I rebuke that. I say, that is not something I will believe or trust in. And so knowing the voice of God, it does take familiarity and awareness. So let's look at three common voices that can be counterfeits in our life. And the first one, like I said, we've already talked about a little bit, and that's the voice of self. The voice of self, especially the unsurrendered voice of self, in 3 or 4 weeks, I can't remember which order I'm going to do these in, but I will talk about the voice of surrendered self, because your own voice does have a part to play in hearing God's voice. It is a valuable contributor to what God is saying, and our circumstances and those things, they do come in, but they have to come in later. They can't be first. In fact, I believe that you need to lower the voice of yourself really quiet at the beginning if you want to hear God speak, and only later bring it into the equation to consider. And so we're talking today, though, about your unsurrendered voice, the part of you that we all confess wants what I want, and it doesn't care if it's not what God wants. You know, the selfish part of us, that sin nature that rears its ugly head once in a while if we're not careful and we don't recognize it. Well, this is about recognizing it, even acknowledging that it's there sometimes and saying, I will not listen to that voice. It's the voice that makes decisions based on our desires and feelings and wants and wishes that isn't reliable or trustworthy. See, that's why you have to differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of self, because our own voice can be deceitful. And I don't know about you, but we've all seen it in others. It's really easy to see it in others, right? When you see someone who believes something that's clearly not in alignment with God, it's a little harder to see it in yourself. And it takes a real genuine humility and a genuine attentiveness to God. And it takes a willingness to recognize that I may not always think right. Romans 12:2 says that we need to let God transform the way we think by renewing our minds. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. It's the most blatant statement of don't follow your heart in the Bible. Even though Disney would tell you all the time to follow your heart, it's not God's plan for your life. We follow God. We follow his voice. In fact, our culture would say that you need to listen to your heart. You need to follow your dreams. You need to determine your own truth. We just read that the truth comes from the Spirit of God. And so what does the voice of self sound like so we can learn to hear the counterfeit of it? It's often going to align with what I want, my preferences, my biases. It's not usually going to challenge itself, right? My own voice says what I want it to hear. You say what you want to hear. You know, it's my will be done. It's going to resist change. It's going to resist the difficult stuff. I don't know about you, but I, you know, if I'm left up to my own decisions and my own choices, I usually take the easy way out. They even did an experiment one time, and they asked people if they would choose a banana or an orange, you know, and many people said, I like the taste of an orange better, but it's too hard to peel it, so I'm going to pick the banana, right? Like, sometimes we're just simple. Sometimes we're like, oh, this is the easier path. I'm going to go that way because we have our preferences, sometimes based on those things. That may not be God's best for your life. God's best might be the harder path. I don't think it's about bananas and oranges, but you know what I'm saying. The voice of self will sometimes take scripture out of context and will read it in a too personal way. You can read scripture personally, and we'll talk a bit about that next week as we look at the voice of scripture in depth. But the truth is, scripture is not always directly written about or to you, and we need to learn to interpret it properly to avoid a careless personal reading that reads it in a 21st century, you know, Ottawa context when it was written in a first century, you know, Jewish context or otherwise, right? So we sometimes have to make sure that we've understood what we're reading and apply it correctly to our lives. And that's hard to do. It takes some time and practice. It's also a me-first voice. We live in a me-first culture, and we often have a me-first voice, which is really the same as our preferences and bias. But when you start to hear something in your voice saying, you know, protect yourself, take care of yourself, this, you deserve this, those kind of voices, there are times where you deserve to treat yourself and have a, you know, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying be skeptical of that as God's voice, right? It's not the same thing when it's kind of me first, because God's generally not me first. He's generally others first, right? And so it's often reinforced too by a me first culture. And so that's the second voice we talk about, is the voice of culture. And the voice of culture is one that often aligns not with biblical values, but with its own. And the problem with culture is that you're raised in it. It's sometimes so pervasive, you don't even know it's influencing you. Obviously, there are some things that you are aware of in culture that you're in disagreement of, or you know are against God's values, but there's a whole lot of influences that we grow up in and learn from our family of origin and so many other ways that they become things we don't even think about. We just assume about the world around us, and we assume it's true, and we have to be careful of that seeming to be the voice of God. This happens when you know, a missionary goes off to another land and has a way of doing things and believes that their way is the right way and this other culture's way is wrong, when really they're just different. They don't necessarily. When I moved to New Zealand and went as a missionary, there were things that were radically different. A lot of it was the same, but a lot of things were radically different. And I had to go, oh. I mean, even, you know, the words that were considered, you know, swear words here were not there, and the ones that were not here were there. And I was like, I was getting in trouble for things I was saying I didn't even know were bad. Like, it doesn't make it right or wrong. It made it different. And it's good to know your culture. But if these are subtle and difficult to know, then it's up to us sometimes to just explore those things. You should know your own dictionary, because you have words in your mind that mean things to you in a way that is sometimes profoundly different than they mean to someone else. And we read the scriptures and we hear the voice of God in our own dictionaries, in our own life, in our own context, and we need to know that. The more you know yourself and you know the influences around you of culture, the better you're going to be able to know when it's your voice or the voice of God or even the voice of culture. It's also sometimes the cultural voice can be very loud and strong sometimes too, when it puts pressure on us to conform, and we have to be aware of that and recognize that sometimes that pressure makes us want to see things in that way when it's not necessarily the way God would. The other thing about culture is it's not consistent. It changes throughout time and throughout history. It can even change from location to location. And so it's not a reliable voice to listen to. The next one is the enemy of God, the voice of Satan, the name that the Bible gives to the enemy of God. And it is a voice that is recognized in Scripture. The Bible just makes the assumption that that Satan exists and doesn't really give us a whole lot on it, but it assumes that you will too, which is an important fact. And we see that in John 8. He says that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. We know, right? He's the one who lied to Adam and Eve, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. This is the language of God's enemy. He is a liar and the father of lies. But we all know a good lie is not easily detectable, right? Blatant, obvious lies don't fool us. They're not deceptive. They don't trap us. It's the subtle, sneaky, deceptive lies. Those are the ones he's best at. So 2 Corinthians 4:4 also says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. We saw this in Paul's writing in Corinthians that we read before the message that not everybody recognizes them. We saw this in John's saying that there were people who wouldn't recognize the voice of God. This happens. People don't hear and see the voice of God if they don't start from a point of faith. Now, the thing is, when you accept God and you receive the Holy Spirit, your eyes, in a sense, are completely opened to what God is doing around you. You can't hear the Holy Spirit if you don't invite the Holy Spirit into your life. It's just that straightforward. And so it is important that we understand there is another voice that does not tell the truth. It is the voice of God's enemy, Satan. And I a little joke there, you know, the picture of Satan is not what he looks like, right? That's not, if he appeared like that to us, we would go, well, you're the devil and I'm not going to listen to you, right? Like, that would be really stupid strategy on his part if he looked like that, because you wouldn't be fooled by that. No, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That means he's going to look like and attempt to appear as God would. You read about this in Revelation with the mark of the beast. It's all about counterfeit, attempting to be and represent God and to appear to be God. It's all about deception. Even the Bible tells us to be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing that will be deceiving to us. And one of the most common lies of Satan is that he will just tell us he doesn't even exist, that he'll whisper that he's not even real. He is a master of deception, and he's often going to cloak his lies in truths. So what does he sound like? It's going to be lies, but they're subtle lies. They're not blatant, obvious lies that you can easily detect. You have to look for the lies, sometimes the subtle things that seem a little bit off, and you start to see this, and we'll talk about this as strategy too. How do you know if it's a lie? He's deceptive, but not overtly. He's often going to align with culture. He's often going to align with your selfish desires. Anything that aligns with his purposes or is against God's will in your life, Satan's going to reinforce those thoughts and those things in your life if he can. He'll often take scripture out of context and twist it for his own ways. And we have to be very careful. I think it is so critical, and we have to be so cautious that we never speak scripture in an improper manner that may deceive people. And we have to check that and make sure that we're teaching the word the right way. And so we know the counterfeits, but approach number two, and I think this is the best approach, is to know the authentic, to know the voice of God. If you want to know if you're hearing God's voice, you need to know what he doesn't sound like. I agree with those. I told you those things on purpose. You need to know the voice of self, culture, and Satan, and that they will have an impact on you if you let them. But the best way to know the counterfeit is to know the real thing. Now, again, I can't verify this, but I've been told that if you want to teach someone to detect a counterfeit bill, what do? You don't have them look at a whole bunch of counterfeits because they're all different and imperfect. You have them handle and hold and observe and spend apparently hours with the real thing. Because when you know the real thing and you know the truth, the lies don't trip you up. Right? If you know God, if you know his word, and if you know his character, and you know his will, then when you hear lies, they don't deceive you. You immediately recognize them for the lies that they are. And so the best thing we can do is know God and know his voice. So how do you do that? Well, you've got to be in the word. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I bet I'm going to say it again and again and again. There's no substitute for God's word in your life. That is the voice of God given to us for us to know him. There's no better way for you to get familiar with God's voice than to spend time in his word. And frankly, if you're not spending time in God's word, you don't have the right to say, God doesn't speak to me, because he will and he can. And so we have to dwell with him in his word. We have to get to know him. It is the way we experience that presence. And so we fill our heart and we saturate our lives in God's word, and then we know the truth. And when we know that, we know the opposite of the truth. We know the lies when we hear them. David said in Psalm 119 that I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It means I know the lies. I know what's wrong because I also know what's right. I know you, God, and therefore I can know your voice. If your heart and mind are full of the truth of God, then you will know when something seems off. If you, on the bottom there, I asked the first service, no one had heard this except Amy, because it's maybe just something I made up, I don't know. Anyone know what the GIGO principle is? Anybody know that right off? It's definitely out there. No one? I didn't make it up. I know. You think you know? Yeah, but you're not sure? Okay, it's garbage in, garbage out. That's what it stands for, right? So I teach this to young people, because look, there's a lot of garbage input into our lives if we let it, right? Especially now. There's so much easy access to, you know, content and things that are just not uplifting to God and holy, that it's really easy to pour so much negative content, so much ungodly content into our eyes and our ears that it pours out of our mouth. This is a biblical principle. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And right, so we overflow what we pour into our lives. If you want to know God's voice, you need to fill up. You need to overflow with him. Not only will you overflow in your own life, you'll overflow to the world around you. And what a blessing that is to the people around us. And so we need to be in his word. We also need to be in his presence. You need to be where God is. Now, this is not just church, but it is church. This is not a simple, hey, come to church. But it is too, right? Because this is a place where we meet God together in community and worship and prayers, and all that we do together is part of how we experience and hear God speak. I hope that you will realize that my goal when I speak to you is never to speak God, it is to speak God's words, never to speak Drew's words. It's always to speak God's words. And I want you to filter out anything that sounds like it's coming from Drew. You just set that aside and ignore that. The stuff that comes from God is what matters. So it does mean church, but it also means participating in God's plans and actions around us. You gotta look around and say, what is God doing around me? And get involved in that. Spend time with people who know God. Spend time in quality relationships with people who love God and will be a positive voice in your life. That's going to be one of the voices we're going to talk about, the voice of others in our life, and how important it is to look for the wise, godly counsel around us. Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's a warning that we need to continue to be in his presence. And there's so many ways you can do that. I'm not prescribing church. It's definitely not the only way, but it is one way. We also participate in his plans, which I alluded to in that one, that we have to be actually obedient to God's will sometimes to know his voice. Sometimes you don't know something's true until you try it for yourself. Again, when I coach jiu-jitsu, sometimes I will show something fairly complicated, and I'll tell the class, it looks harder than it is. Follow these simple steps, and it'll start to work for you. And they go, yeah, right. And then they do it, and they go, oh, it wasn't that bad, right? Sometimes it looks crazy, and you're going to land on your head and all that. Yeah, we teach some very acrobatic stuff, and people can react very like, oh, I don't know. But then when they do it, they go, huh, it wasn't too bad. Sometimes God's voice and God's spirit is like that. He wants to say things to you. He wants you to understand. But sometimes you won't get that understanding until you act, until you do what he's commanded you to do. Jesus taught this in John 8:31-32 to Jews who believed him. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've shared this before. This is a scripture often quoted out of context. And often people will start with, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, how do you know the truth? By holding to his teaching and obeying his commands. Then you're really his disciples. That's how you know. So the act and action here begins with obedience and follows with knowing. And so sometimes the way we know the voice of God is to apply the voice of God in our lives. just trust that his word is his word and do what it says, as we looked at even last week. And the last one is to pray continually. This one is, again, about being in God's presence and being familiar with him. How many of you guys remember dial-up internet? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you do not remember dial-up internet? Oh, a lot of you, which is crazy to me. But there was a time when we used to call the internet, and you'd call it on a phone line, a landline, wired to your house. I mean, you don't even know what that is, probably some of you. I know the little kids certainly don't. And you had to call the internet, and you had to make all these screechy noises and communicate over your phone line. And you would connect to the internet, and you would be on. And then you would disconnect to the internet, and you would not any longer be connected. Well, now, you know, my phone's connected. I had to put it on do not disturb so I wouldn't get notifications through the service. Like, I'm always connected to the internet through data and satellites and all, you know, we're so connected now. But there used to be a time where, but I think we treat God like dial-up sometimes, right? We connect to him and then we disconnect from him as if that's how prayer works. Well, this verse says otherwise, right? By the way, you want to memorize a verse of scripture? Here's one for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's not clear in this on the screen. 5:17 is just those two words: pray continually. That's verse 5:17. So there you go. You got a scripture memorized. I guarantee you can remember that, right? Like, pray continually, and we internalize that. And it's this idea, though, that we can be in constant communion and connection with the voice of God. It's not an off and on, disconnect, connect thing. You don't have to, you don't only connect to God if you do this, right? Like, that's not how it works. God can be part of your life all the time. I say pray continually, but keep your eyes open when you're driving, right? Like, it's still, you don't need to have your eyes closed or bow your head all the time. It's great when you can focus like that and get away from distractions and get away and pray, but you can just whisper prayers to God all the time, and you can hear the voice of God all the time if you tune into him. We can stay connected. And so what does it sound like to hear God's voice? I'm going to ask the band to come up as we wrap up. The voice of God aligns with scripture. It aligns with his character. He's a God of loving kindness. Now, it's not the cultural definition of love, right? Which is kind of simple, and like the culture would say to love someone is to let them do whatever they want. But I mean, if I love my kids, I don't let them, you know, play with knives, right? That's just, I don't do that. I don't let them play with boiling pots of water. Like, I protect them from danger because I love them. And God does that for us. He won't force us, but his loving kindness goes way beyond a simple kind of do whatever you want kind of love. It's a very involved, even, I guess I would say, abrasive love at times, because his love will say, I will protect you from yourself. His love is always other-centered. God's always about the community. He's not about you. He's about all of you. And there's a big difference. This is where, see, these are these little subtle lies of Satan that would say, God wants you to have whatever you want. No, God wants you to have whatever is best for our world and all of us together. See, sometimes what's best for you isn't communally best for all. What I mean by that is, say, lying. There might be a time where lying gets you out of trouble, but it doesn't build trust. It doesn't build faith. It doesn't build community. It doesn't build great connections. It actually breaks those things down, and it's unhealthy in our long-term relationships with one another. So we may think in our own simplicity, oh, if I lie, I spare myself this struggle. But if I tell the truth and obey God, then I experience the fullness of what it means to follow him. God's word will stand the test of time. It'll stand. It'll be evidenced by Christian experience and others. We can look back throughout the history of all God's people and see what God has done. And it'll stand the test of scripture. And so when we go to God to listen to his voice, we need to know we can and we must become familiar with it. We must become familiar with the voice of God. We need to saturate ourselves in God's word and God's presence. We do that by hiding his word in our heart. Memorize some scripture. Don't just memorize it. Make it part of you. Obey it. That's the participate in God's purposes. Be in his presence. Be where God is. Pray continually. Be connected to God at all times. And then, you know, learn to tune out those counterfeit voices. Be aware of them. Recognize them. When you hear a lie, you know, say, I know that is not God's voice in my life. Start to call out the times where you hear God speak. And when we begin to practice these habits continually, we're mindful of them, we start to feel that sense of God's speaking in my life. We're going to go deeper and deeper every week into different ways and other ways we can listen. But I think as we close today, we're going to sing basically a welcoming song to the Holy Spirit. It says, you're welcome here. And it starts there. Have you welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life? Because, again, he's not always going to say what you want to hear. And it can be scary. You're like, I don't know if I want God's influence that much in my life, because he's going to tell me no once in a while. He's going to say change once in a while. But I promise you, if you abide by that voice, you listen to that voice, you're obedient to it, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. So I invite you during this song to just spend a few minutes in prayer, in mindfulness of the Holy Spirit who is here, will speak to you and say, God, I welcome you in. You're welcome in my life. I invite you to be the source of truth in my life. And if that's a decision you want to make, then just make it. Just declare it. You can do it out loud. You can come to the altar and pray. You can pray in your seat. You can just sing the song with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and say, God, I want this to be true in my life. Just connect with God in whatever way works for you. Connect with God. Ignore everything else for just a few minutes as we focus in and sing together.